Instead, let's make it a bottle episode.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. I love it. I know every time you see a sitcom and they're like in Europe or something and you're like, oh, we're going to get a couple of one rumors after this.
Well, dude, one of the best bottle episodes ever is the Parks and Rec episode with Ron Swanson and Leslie Knope where they get locked in the office together.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Thank the light, everybody. I am Matt's big ass meat and cheese tray. And these are my wolf brothers.
I will be your dagger in Matt's horn box. Thank you for not stealing it.
Yes.
I was like, as soon as he said Matt, I was like, you motherfucker, you're going to do it again. And we're going to have to fight about this.
And I will be your Abed the deer because this is our bottle episode. And I'm calling it out right now. It's a bottle episode. We're not going anywhere.
We're running out of time.
Running out of time. We're over budget.
We got to get this done.
We're over budget.
No going outside. No building sets.
We have to come up with something really clever that we can do from our desks.
Three characters aren't even going to be in this episode because we can't afford to pay them.
That's right.
They're going to be on fucking vacation. I don't know.
I need my green screen down so I can be somewhere else. Look, I'm surfing. Whoa.
You could be our Chrissy calling in on the telephone.
Makes me think of outsourced. Have you seen the show Outsource? Oh, I'm on a roller coaster, Todd.
What's Outsource?
Where he gets sent to India or whatever to run the call center.
What's his goddamn name? I'm trying to think of the guy who created it, I think.
If only we had a interconnected web of computers where we could ask it a question.
No, this is a bottle episode, man. No. This is all we got. All we got is in front of us. You got to use the props here. You're given.
You got to use your brain. No. The creator is Robert Borden.
Oh, okay. Nope. Not who I was thinking of.
Matt Walsh, right, Des?
No. Matt Walsh is awesome, though.
It would be hilarious if Robert Borden was Robert Jordan's screen name. Like, I'm going to do a TV show. Oh, and I fake my death. No one will know.
For some reason, I thought Pete Holmes was part of that.
Oh, Pete Holmes. Okay.
He's not. You're probably thinking the Diedrich Bader character. He's kind of looks a little.
No, strange. He wasn't in it. He was. I thought he was a writer or a creator or something like that. Pete Holmes wrote one episode of Outsourced. So I wasn't totally. He wasn't a big deal, but he was. He was in the writer's room for a minute, so I wasn't totally off base.
You are correct, sir.
Pete Holmes. I love the Pete Holmes podcast until they just got endless. I like knowing that this podcast is going to be an hour of my life or even 90 minutes of my life. And his podcast just started to be as long as they needed to be. And I'm just like, I don't have time.
I see it. 30 to 45 minutes are the perfect amount of time for this world.
Yeah. 60 right around, you know, 60 at the top end.
Yeah. If you got a good one going, you know, hit it.
Now, when season two starts, we're going to be pushing 90, and that's fine. Because we got shit to talk about.
That's right.
Motherfuckers.
Wow.
When we do it, it's okay.
When we got fucking new information.
I don't know why you got to MF me, but all right.
Motherfucker. This episode, this boxed episode is brought to you by The Dragon Reborn, Chapter 16, Healing, where Matt... Oh, this is his actual healing. Yeah, this isn't... That's right. I forget. We'll be doing another Matt episode next week also when he actually kind of like wakes up and comes to. But this is just when they bring him back. And I can't recall anything from this episode. It's just nice to fucking have Matt back.
Yeah, seriously. And you get some really good Matt stuff like starting to sprinkle in after this all the way through this book. And I love it.
Because they get to the White Tower in like chapter 8. And I'm like, heal him, heal him. Heal him. Heal him. It's just chapter after chapter of Matt just suffering in a back room somewhere.
Getting the shakes.
I'll be all right.
Could they start? Could we, our first sight of Matt be a healing? Like if they're going to jump forward that far?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I really have a feeling it's going to do that. And it's going to be kind of like, they're going to have to explain why he looks different. Somehow, unless they're just going to be like, nope, I'm not going to do it, because sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have a feeling they're going to give us like, you know, he carried the dagger so long and, you know, he was so emaciated, it almost, you know, changed his physical appearance, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I think the first we're going to see of Matt is him, you know, maybe real sick and then going and then getting healed. You know, it's like, we'll see them. I feel like, or maybe, you know, traveling, traveling from Faldara, maybe you might.
He's not at Faldara. He's in the tower.
Yeah, he's at the White Tower. He's
because he's not so sick at when the books, when they leave Faldara, he's not that sick, right?
No,
he's getting there. It's yeah, it's when they're traveling back.
Wait, no, I'm skipping. Yeah, they go to Falm. They go to Falm. Then he's going.
Then he goes. Right. And they go back to the tower.
So Varen was in Falm then too?
Falm, yeah, she was.
What the fuck was Varen doing in Falm? How'd she get there? They don't ever tell you.
No, yeah, they do. So remember,
what?
She catches up with Rand and all those guys. She catches up with them. She leaves Tomas, remember?
Portal Stone, right.
And then they take the Portal Stone and they go there. And then Varen stays with all the Shanchan guys. Not Shanchan, the Shinaran guys.
That'd be weird.
That would be really weird. But there's the prophecy that five go forth, four return, right? So they pick the five. She's the one who mentions that. And so she's there when all the stuff goes down. And then she takes Egwene, Elaine, Min, and Nynaeve all back. And Matt. And Huron.
And Chad.
And Chad.
Not Ingtar.
And Steve. Not Ingtar.
Not Ingtar.
Well, five went forth.
Four come back. Spoiler alert.
Two men enter. One man leave. It all comes back to Master Blaster.
Oh, wait. Oh, weird. What?
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 You keep looking at me like it's my fault.
It is. It's always your fault.
So I was just reading another Screen Rant article too about Matt, because Matt is in, they were like, Matt is currently in the White Tower. So what if they have to give blowing the horn to somebody else because Matt's not there? And I was like, that can't happen.
Oh,
that can't happen.
No, that can't happen. So,
oh, that's right. I forget how much shit. I forget we have a whole book we haven't touched on before season two starts.
Dude, yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was just somebody's speculation on Screen Rant, or I think it was the article. But I thought, man, that if you do that, that's heresy. I think people would be very up in arms about that.
Who would blow it? Perrin?
It'd have to be Perrin.
Falcon?
No.
Because they would have to rewrite everything, because whoever blows it has to...
Whoever blows it has to, you know,
that not yes
down the hatch. So,
but they could also just make that so you don't have to, and then that person has to be there at the last battle. Hey, these are all the things that can happen, man. I'm telling you, right? With what happened at the end of the first season, there, and then them going straight into basically the third book with where Rand goes, because he just takes off after the end of the first season. There's a lot of stuff that has to be changed.
Do you think that they would have Rand blow it and then maybe he gets?
No, that makes no sense.
I just.
But wow. You're right.
There's nobody else. There's nobody else who could blow it and have it make sense.
Here's what. Okay. How mad would you be if if this happened in the scene where Matt fights Gawain and Galad? If they took that away and gave it to Nynaeve, which we kind of saw, if they changed it to not Gawain and Galad, because it looked like it was Alana's warders that she was fighting. Would that just be the end right there? Would we just, no more podcasts, show's over, and I'm never going to watch it again?
If it was someone else besides Galad and Gawain, and they kind of gave some, then I wouldn't care as much. If they try to just slip her into Matt in that whole scene, fuck no. I mean, I wouldn't quit the pod, but I'm going to be very disagreeable.
All of a sudden it becomes the hate podcast.
I would identify as a fucking problem after that.
We would definitely, we would change the name of our podcast to The Book Is Better.
No, that's not true. It would be Jeremy Was Right All Along.
No, now I hate Nynaeve and Rafe Judkins. I'm just kidding, Rafe. Just kidding.
But we're not. But we're really not kidding. Because if you do that, that would be.
I just hate you for putting that in my mind.
But it wasn't even in my. So, but remember we saw that it was when we did the slowed down version, it looked like Nynaeve fighting with the staff against two guys.
She had a sword, but.
Oh, did she have a sword? Maybe she did have a sword. Okay. Which makes no sense.
I just got angry all over again for season two not being out, because I hate how deep into book three we are. And I'm like, I keep forgetting that the show has a whole book to cover. Like, I'm like, well, when we get back, Matt will be healed. It's like, no, we have a whole, like, my whole timing is just thrown off now. Like, I had a perfect plan.
I think he will. I think that they will.
But either way, like, I just forget where we are.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I'm so deep into book three, which I know will be in season two a little bit.
I miss that whole, what you were just saying, because I'm so mad at Jeremy.
I'm so out of sorts because we're so deep into book three.
Yeah.
That when we talk about season two, I forget how much of book two still has to go into that. And like, because like I said, like, oh, maybe the first time we meet Matt, he'll be healed. It's like, no.
No.
There's 873 pages we got to get through before that.
If you happen to get to the end of Dragon Reborn before this season comes out, you got to stop because it'll be too fucking much of, it'll be like when the Avengers start jumping around on timelines, it's too confusing.
So you can't think of book two and three being linear. They're going to be almost simultaneous in certain things because Matt is in the tower already, so he can be healed. That can be done right now, right off the bat. Perrin is by himself, so he has to go find the dagger and the horn, right? Not the dagger because, well, I guess maybe both.
The dagger's in the White Tower.
No, Peyton Fain has the dagger.
Oh, yeah, Peyton Fain has the dagger.
I'm thinking the dagger is no longer needed for Matt. They can just heal him if he's not already healed. He might already be healed. We don't know for sure. Because we don't know that he's going to need two or three healings, right? Like in the books. So that can happen at the same time.
Been healed once already.
Yeah.
Majorly by Moraine, which could take the place of one of the ones that, like, they heal him at, like, Faldara. That could take the place of that.
It could just be one and then he's done.
Yeah.
That could be it. And then Matt probably either has to try to link up with Perrin, or I'm thinking that the girls will leave because Swan tells them that they have to leave to hunt the Black Hodges. So they take off. Then Matt ends up going with them.
They all kind of end up in Falm at the same time.
Yeah, or that. Or, yeah, maybe they have to go to Falm instead of Tyr.
Because they have to go to Falm and then Tyr. I don't see, they can't tie Falm into Tyr. It just doesn't work it would be too much hack writing to get it to make sense. Because they've also seen shots that look like Randa's in Carheen. So, you know.
Here's the thing. Either they send Matt to Falm and he blows the horn, or they send him to Tyr to go after the girls. But for me, I'm thinking, especially nowadays, right? The girls, they'll just say, well, the girls didn't need Matt. So he goes to Falm. The girls get themselves out of the jail. Matt doesn't have to go there.
You're forgetting about Egwene going to Falm and becoming Damani. That, they can't skip that. That's too important to her character arc, dude.
True. That's true. Well, we know that's not happening. We know that that is happening.
Like, there's no fucking way. Unless they're going to set...
We know that is happening.
Yeah, but maybe they somehow, you know, Egwene and Nynaeve get somehow separated and they start going to Tyr. Egwene gets stuck in... I don't even know. I mean, like, it's like, it's, there's going to be a lot of continuity that you're... It's going to be... They better not fucking... I'm starting... Damn it, Jeremy.
Yeah, because how are they going to get... They need to be at the battle at the end of the Great Hunt by episode 4.
Right.
Right. Right, right. I mean, and I could see it because, you know, like if the portal stones and stuff, they could do it. Maybe even if it's not until the end of episode 5, then you have 6, 7, 8 to get them to Tyr and get ready for that whole thing. But man, there's going to be a lot of fast. Maybe traveling gets introduced this season. Maybe that's what's taking them so long.
They can do that, or they can just do what Game of Thrones and The Last Kingdom did, where like you take off.
Dragons.
You get the, dragons. Yeah, dragons go fly at 900 miles an hour. And boats travel at 200 miles an hour, and horses can rake 150 miles an hour.
Oops, I'm in Falm.
Oops, yeah. Oops, I covered 1,000 miles in a day. Cars don't even do that.
The Dragon Reborn, I lied. Chapter 18, Healing. That's why I was. That's why I kept looking at you funny, Jeremy, because I was actually looking at my spreadsheet. Matt's healing. We're going to start at 2:30.
The Amarlin seat stood at Matt's head and Lyanna at his feet. 4 Aes Sedai stood down one side of the table and 3 down the other. Shiriam joined the 3. One of them was Varen. Egwene recognized Seraphel, another brown sister, and Alana Mosvani of the green Aja and Anaya of the blue, which was Moiraine's Aja. The rest were unknown to her, except for one cool-eyed woman she thought was a white. The Amarlin and the Keeper wore their stoles, of course, but none of the others had anything to mark them out except great serpent rings and ageless Aes Sedai faces. Despite the outward calm of the women around the table, Egwene thought she saw signs of uncertainty, a tightness to Anaya's mouth, a slight frown on Alana's darkly beautiful face, The cool-eyed woman kept smoothing her pale blue dress over her thighs without seeming to realize what she was doing. An Aes Sedai Egwene did not know set a plain, polished wooden box, long and narrow, on the table and opened it. From its nest in the red silk lining, the Ammerlin took out a white fluted wand the length of her forearm. It could have been bone or ivory, but was neither. No one alive knew what it was made of. Egwene had never seen the wand before, but she recognized it from a lecture Anaya had given the novices. One of the few Sa'angreal, and perhaps the most powerful, that the tower possessed. Sa'angreal had no power of their own, of course. They were merely devices for focusing and magnifying what an Aes Sedai could channel. But with that wand, a strong Aes Sedai might be able to crumple the walls of Tar Valon. Egwene clutched Nynaeve's hand on one side and Elaine's on the other. Light. They're not sure they can heal him, even with a Sa'angreal. With that Sa'angreal, what chance would we have had? We'd probably have killed him and ourselves too. Light. I will meld the flows, the Ammerlin said. Be careful. The power needed to break the bond with the dagger and heal its damage is very close to what could kill him. I will focus. She held the wand straight out in front of her in both hands, above Matt's face. Still unconscious, he took his head and tightened a fist on the dagger's hilt, muttering something that sounded like a denial. A glow appeared around each Aes Sedai, that soft white light that only a woman who could channel could see. Slowly, the light spread until that which seemed to emanate from one woman touched that which came from the woman beside her, merged with it till there was only one light. A light that to Egwene's eyes diminished the lamps to nothing. And in that brightness was a stronger light still, a bar of bone-white fire. The Sa'angreal. Egwene fought the urge to open herself to Sayidar and add her flow to the tide. It was a pull so strong she was about to be jerked off her feet. Elaine tightened her hold on her hand. Nynaeve took a step toward the table, then stopped with an angry shake of her head. Light, Egwene thought. I could do it, but she did not know what it was she could do. Light, it's so strong, it's so wonderful. On the table, Matt thrashed in the middle of the glow, jerking this way, then that, muttering incomprehensibly. But he did not loosen his hold on the dagger, and his eyes remained closed. Slowly, ever so slowly, he began to arch his back, muscles straining till he shook. Still he fought and bucked, until finally only his heels and his shoulders touched the table. His hand on the dagger sprang open, and quivering crept back from the hilt, was forced fighting from the hilt. His lips skinned away from his teeth in a snarl, a grimace of pain, and his breath came in forced grunts. They are killing him, Egwene whispered. The Ammerlin is killing him. We have to do something. Just as softly, Nynaeve said, if we stop them, if we could stop them, he'll die. I do not think I could handle half that much of the power. She paused as if she had just heard her own words, that she could channel half of what 10 full Aes Sedai did with a Sa'angreal, and her voice grew even fainter. Light, help me, I want to. Did she mean that she wanted to help Matt, or that she wanted to channel that flow of power? Egwene could feel that urge in herself, like a song that compelled her to dance. We must trust them, Nynaeve said in an intense whisper finally. He has no other chance. Suddenly Matt shouted, loud and strong. Muadrin Tiadar Alende Kabadrin Radiem. Arched and struggling, eyes squeezed shut, he bellowed the words clearly. Los Valdar Quebiari. Los Karai Ancaldazar. Al Caldazar. Egwene frowned. She had learned enough to recognize the old tongue, if not to understand more than a few words. Karai Ancaldazar. Al Caldazar. For the honor of the Red Eagle. For the Red Eagle, ancient battle cries of Manetharan, a nation that had vanished during the Trolloc Wars, a nation that had stood where the Two Rivers was now. That much she knew. With a loud pop of tearing leather, the golden sheath dagger rose from Matt's belt, hung a foot above his straining body. The ruby glittered, seemed to send off crimson sparks, as if it too fought the healing. Matt's eyes opened, and he glared at the women standing around him, and he began to scream, a roar of rage that went on and on. Hurriedly, Anaya bent to lift a dark metal box from under the table, moving as if it were heavy. When she set it beside Matt and opened the lid, only a small space was revealed within sides at least 2 inches thick. Anaya bent again for a set of tongs such as a good wife might use in her kitchen, and grasped the floating dagger in them as carefully as if it were a poisonous snake. The Aes Sedai thrust the dagger into the box and snapped the lid down, letting out a loud sigh as it clicked shut. As soon as the dagger was hidden, Matt's shriek cut off, and he collapsed as if muscle and bone had turned to water. An instant later, the glow surrounding Aes Sedai and table winked out. Done, the Ammerlin said hoarsely, as if she had been the one screaming. Is he healed? Nynaeve said. Will he live? Matt lay as if sleeping, but his face still had that hollow-cheeked gauntness. Egwene had never heard of a healing that did not cure everything. Unless just separating him from the dagger took all of the power they used. Is Matt all right? Nynaeve demanded. The Ammerlin's seat turned toward them. He is as well as he can be, she said coldly. Only time will tell. Carrying something with Shadar Logoth's taint for so long, who knows what effect it will have on him? Perhaps none, perhaps much. We will see. But the bond with the dagger is broken. Now he needs rest and as much food as can be gotten into him. He should live. What was that he was shouting, mother? Elaine asked. He was ordering soldiers. The Ammerlin gave the young man lying on the table a quizzical look. He had not moved since collapsing, but Egwene thought his breathing seemed easier, the rise and fall of his chest more rhythmic. In a battle 2,000 years gone, I would say, The old blood comes again. It was not all about a battle, Nynaeve said. I heard him say Aes Sedai. That was no battle, Mother, she added belatedly. For a time, she said firmly, I believe the past and the present were one. He was there and he was here and he knew who we were. He commanded us to release him. I am a free man, Aes Sedai. I am no Aes Sedai meat. That is what he said. But Mother, Egwene said, he could not have meant it as it sounds. Manetharan was allied with Tar Valon. Manetharan was an ally child, the Amaranth told her. But who can know the heart of a man? Not even he himself, I suspect. A man is the easiest animal to put on a leash, and the hardest to keep leashed, even when he chooses it himself.
So, does Matt have to be under the spell of the dagger to do anything in book two? Like, does being under the spell help him in any way?
No.
I think the healing we saw was the healing.
I think you're right, man.
I kind of feel like I was just going to say the similarities, the way they describe the dagger kind of fighting back. That sounds a lot like what happened when Moraine, but he's still sick. When you see him at the waygate, he's still pale. He doesn't look good.
Well, how do you explain the choice that he made by not going with everybody else? That's the only thing that I could think of that they would still be like, okay, he was still under the influence of the dagger. So that's why he left his friends behind or didn't go with them. I mean, they can do anything, obviously, but I don't understand. What plot device would you use?
Well, here's what I would say. Pod and Fane obviously enters the ways after them and follows them to Faldara. What if Matt sneaks behind Pod and Fane and they just didn't show you that until season two?
They show him going to the tower. They show him going into the White Tower after all that. Going to Tar Valon. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They stand him up. They see he's like this and he's looking up at the tower.
But he could see Pod on Fane. Like, does Pod on Fane step in directly after them?
He's pretty close behind him. I mean, he catches up with them in the ways, you know, or at least the Trollocs that he brings do, you know?
Yeah, but Matt is, I think it's, is it the last episode where they show him going to Tar Valon?
Yeah.
So he's not there. He didn't go behind them. And I think they even show pictures of him for next season. He starts off there.
Yeah, it seems like he's in the tower. I think they show him and Egwene talking in the tower. I think in one of the clips I saw, I think he's kind of laying down in a sick bed, and I think Egwene's talking to him. Maybe it's one of the Aemon's Field girls is talking to him, I think. Who do we think? Four Aes Sedai? Oh, Four Aes Sedai. I thought that was like a nickname. Who's Four Aes Sedai? I never seen anyone wearing glasses. Can't they just heal that? Ah, dang.
Four Aes.
That was a dumb joke.
That was beautiful.
For the record, we all wear glasses. I don't have mine on right now, but
yeah. Some of us have to wear two different types of glasses. You do?
I was like, okay. That's rude. Jeez.
I have to have cheaters for when I wear if I'm wearing these glasses,
yep.
I have to take them off to see things up close.
Yep.
If I'm wearing my contacts, I have to have cheaters to see things up close.
Yes, there's a lot of swapping. Like, yep, okay, all right, yep, there we go.
Yeah, yep.
It's funny. I just realized when my daughter would start showing me stuff on her phone, she would be like, hey, Dad, look at this. And I'd put her right in front of my face. And I'd be like, oh, hold her. Moving the arm out a little bit. Oh, there you go.
I do that to my wife all the time. Lisa's like, "Get! I know that I can't see that good, but I don't need it to touch my nose." I'm like, well, I wasn't trying to do that. I was just excited.
I remember thinking just not being able to comprehend when I would hand my grandparents something and they would hold it farther away. Just like, no, that can't be how eyesight works. Like, closer has to be better. Like,
nope.
Oh, but it is, friend.
there is a good zone that I have to be in. And it's usually about like three quarters of my arm's length away.
It's hashtag mid-range, baby.
It's the Goldilocks zone.
They don't mention it, but that's Vora's sawing reel, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's like the one that it comes into play at the end. Egwene starts, you know, busting it around willy-nilly. I wonder if if that is Matt's main healing, then we probably won't see it. But I was like, man, we could maybe, you know, I had a list of Turingriel, actually. I was like, maybe we'll see Vora's Songriel, but it's like the second season, we could actually see a lot more Songriel and Turingriel. We only saw just the one in the first season, right?
Yeah.
If you got to think, second season, Kalendor. Got to see it at least once, you know, and Idam.
Yeah.
Definitely going to see one of those, whatever version the show has of it. Ball gags and whatnot. You know, I feel like you need to see some sort of Angriel with Moraine that works for her, whether it's the Ivory Woman or something. You know, Rand's got his version probably of the Fat Man Angriel already.
Mm-hmm.
Will we see Matt's medallion this season? Probably not till next season.
Yeah, that'll be next season.
But what about the Stone Ring?
I think that's this season.
Maybe at the very end.
Okay. Do you think that will be that in the World of Dreams and Dreaming? You think that'll be a big thing?
It's gotta be, man. The hunters of the heroes of the Horn are there too much. Perrin's whole badassery is the wolf dream.
They've introduced a lot of dreams already, so I think they're going there.
Yeah, they've already done like them meeting in Telenriad, which never really happens between them and the book. So I gotta think that they're introducing that mechanic early for a reason.
Well, and that's what gets Egwene to go to the certain area.
Right. Well, and then like you have the stone doorway that probably next season, because that the stone of Tyr, but that's where book four starts.
Yep.
The arches, though, you're probably going to have to see the arches this season because
probably
they're going to get bumped up to accept it. At least Nynaeve, maybe the Oath Rod. I don't mean, we've already seen the Oath Rod. So
true.
Right.
True.
I wonder if they'll still have the Chosen Call or something to represent that.
That'll be season three.
Yeah. And then, I mean, those are the ones that I could just think of that we may or may not see this next season. But I mean, they're all really important. So,
yeah,
they're going to have to cut some shit. Like, I kept thinking that, like, because you guys kept talking about how, you know, the middle books are just kind of wandering. And I thought we might get there to really skip over some stuff. But like, holy shit. And especially because they're going to have, just because it's a fucking TV show and you got to have those two episodes where everyone just sits around and expositions for a whole episode.
I don't know if you're going to get that in this.
They just always do. They just always figure out how to cram those episodes in. So if
it's for budget, you have to.
Yeah. If two episodes are that's six episodes.
Right.
Getting to two major battles.
Right. And a lot of the continent. Why do you think they healed them? Like, they could have just let them die. And then whoever blows the horn. Do you think they're trying to keep, because he's attached to Rand and they're just trying to.
They know he's Tavirin too, right?
Yeah.
So he has a part to play. And if.
Do they? Do they all know? Or does. I mean, I know Swan knows. I know Varen knows, but does nobody else probably knows?
But nobody else knows that he blew the horn too. Swan is the only one who knows that. Swan and Varen.
Varen. I was like, Varen knows.
Yeah.
And Moraine. So, okay.
How can only. Did he hide in a cave when he blew the horn?
They blew the horn, but. They were. I was on the other side of the world, practically.
Yeah, and there's no Instagram. There's no pictures of
him. Oh, no one at the tower knows he blew it.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
There's
okay.
Like only a few, you know, like Perrin, Loyal, Rand, Egwene, Nynaeve, Varen, Suan.
The Shinarans that are with him probably know.
And Moraine. So probably 10, 12. Unos, I think, was there.
Yeah, and I don't even know if they know, right? They don't even know who blew it, maybe.
Yeah, I don't even know if they do either, because when he blew it, it was just him, Loyal, and Perrin. Rand wasn't even right there, was he?
He was. Was he in the sky fighting already?
Yeah, he was already in, like.
No. He was there too. Because remember, that's when the it gets foggy, and then
after the fog rolls in, is when he starts.
Ishamael fight. Him and Ishamael fight.
Sky fight.
There's no Instagram.
Sorry.
I mean, they did have, Yahoo. What was the Yahoo text one that you had? The old school one?
What is it? 1999? Why is everyone on Alta Vista?
They all had sidekicks, but they weren't very fast.
How do they communicate in this world? Just people walk to the next town?
Pigeon.
Instead of, you know, how ravens, they would use ravens in Game of Thrones. They use.
Yeah.
Is it pigeons or?
I think it's pigeons.
It's something like that. Yeah.
So it'll be like Game of Thrones where pigeons like travel at light speed.
Exactly.
They use turtle doves.
They use turkeys. They weren't very smart. Yes.
They cover a lot of ground, but they don't always go the right way.
John Woo's doves. I just watched Mission Impossible 2 and 3 while I was flying to Iowa.
I'm sorry.
Two is so bad. So bad.
You know what's funny? It's not a terrible movie. It's just a terrible Mission Impossible movie.
Yes.
I think it's an okay movie, but it was not the next step for Mission Impossible.
The part, though, where the guys are riding their motorcycles right at each other, and then they both hit their front brakes, and then they jump in the air and hit each other full on, and I was all, oh, those guys are both dead. Those guys are both
dead. Oh, your internal organs are straight jelly now. Good times. Talking about Goldeneye?
Well, I have nothing else to add, because all I want to do is bitch about how they're going to cram all this shit into season two.
Well, you're going to have to hang on for a second then.
Okay.
So all the old tongue speaking, that's just Aemon, right? He's Aemon. He has to be, right?
I agree.
Like, he is the king of Minithrin. I mean, that's like...
It's the old blood.
Is Aemon the owner of the dagger, or is he just...
No, he was like the king of Minithrin.
Then why is he speaking through Matt if he's not living in the dagger?
Matt is kind of like him reborn, kind of like Rand is the dragon reborn, kind of.
Oh.
I think.
They talk about how the old blood runs in Emmon's field, and it's the old blood of Minethrin. And so...
Oh, right.
His relatives, they all like live there for ages and ages and ages.
And Matt's the one that starts singing about Minethrin, too. So we're already making that connection.
Right. Well, and the dagger and then the healing, I think, also kind of helps. Like, you know, it's like... I was actually listening. They talk about things existing in two places at one time. They're like, I think he was here and not here. And also, like, I think that's kind of what happens by the time he gets healed of the dagger, and holding the dagger for so long kind of brings his two places in the pattern, I don't know, closer.
Yeah. Sounds good. I'll buy it.
Well, when you get, I mean, you know, it's just, I've thought about it way too much and I'm a fucking idiot. But dude, Nynaeve's like, oh man, I wish I could, you know, I could only hold half that power. There's six Aes Sedais? Eight? How many was there, Jeremy? Do you know?
There's
Leanne, there's Shirium, there's Suan, there's Alanna, there's Moraine.
Varen.
There's Varen. So there's at least six. And then there's that other.
There's four Eyes. Don't forget about four Eyes.
There's an.
Four Aes Sedai.
There's
another brown.
There's another white and another brown, so that's eight.
Right.
And she's like, I could only hold half that power. Plus, they have the strongest Saw Angreal that they're channeling through. And she's like, I could only hold half that power. And that's probably unaided, because she's not holding the... I mean, like, that gives you a clue how... Like, Nynaeve is bad, dude.
The fact that she knows that, too.
Yeah.
Right. Just by instinct going like, man, I could barely hold half that. Damn.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Only half?
Jesus. Man, I could only throw like 80 yards. What?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And I think even Egwene, she comments on that, like, half of that, that's dead.
Yeah, she's like, what?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, and Egwene is not weak, dude. She's strong.
I'm only batting 333.
Yeah. Nynaeve's like 750 with an OBP of 1,000.
Who's on first? Nynaeve's on first.
And third. And she's scoring right now. I said that's similar to Moraine, but I have no idea what that is. So let's skip that one. Falls down a well, eyes go cross.
Kicked by a mule, they go back. I don't know. I forget how attached to the dagger he has to be. Like, I know it's near him, but I forget, like, if it's not on his person, he'll die. I mean, up until...
Right, that's what they're doing right here. Yeah, they're breaking that, you know.
Because so. I knew it was near him, but I forget that he's, like, cuddling that thing until they pry it away from his almost...
Yeah, he, like, is literally just, yeah, white-knuckling that thing all the time. You know, I'd be fine with them skipping the other healing as long as they didn't blow some other stuff like the fight scene or him blowing the horn. Like, I never even, those are some, you know, I've thought about so many things that could go wrong or right with the show. Those are two things I'm kind of probably going to lose some fucking sleep tonight, because I'm just like, damn, dude, like that would be really shitty, because I also don't see how they can do it. I know enough about the series. Like, how would you make that make sense?
They could front load it too and have him... If he's at the tower, he could have his battle before he meets up with anybody and then still blow the horn after that.
Sure.
Maybe he just like Scooby-Doo Spidey senses it and knows they're in trouble, blows the horn at the tower. And the heroes know to go to farm.
Fuck. And we just have to get the goddamn horn. I forget.
Yeah. They don't even have the fucking horn yet.
I'm going to have to. I got to.
Well, I'm like, okay, where's Pod and Fang gonna go? Is he headed to Shale Goal with the horn? Is, you know, what's good?
I gotta rewatch season one just to remember like where we're actually at with the show.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is where we're at. This is all the shit I've read.
Make sure you tell me. I'm not gonna watch it again. Oh, I mean, I'll watch it.
You'll watch the editor's version.
There you go.
So much better.
What I'd really like them to do is expand the episodes too. There's really no reason for them to be 55 minutes or 48 minutes or whatever. Make them an hour and 20 minutes. No one cares.
They're going to have to. If they're only doing 8 episodes, they have to.
And that's the thing. An extra, you know, half hour, man, you could just...
I mean, that's 4 extra episodes.
It doesn't seem like it's that much, but you're...
4
yeah.
more episodes. That's 12 episodes worth of stuff.
Oh. The anxiety actually is starting to fucking freak me out about them not getting it ready. It's just like, dude, is it really bad? And they're trying to like save it with special effects. I really, really hope that's not.
I think it's going to be okay, but we're going to have to let some shit go. Like, I think it's going to be all right. But the more we talk about it, the more I realize they're going to have to jump over stuff, skip stuff. It's weird because we've been talking about this every fucking week for 60 weeks now, and I keep on being like, no it'll be fine, like they'll fit it all in, and this is the first time I'm like, no,
they're gonna have to cut a lot.
Yeah, this is gonna be a struggle. I mean, it can be done well, but it's like, whew.
Like the first episode, we're just immediately gonna be like, well, they skipped this, they jumped over that, we're already here.
Yeah,
why is Rand not even in the show again?
Yeah,
I'm almost to the point in my head where I'm thinking, like, are we even going to be able to look at it and be like, how did they get to there?
Yeah.
You know, what was their idea of, is it going to have to be just something totally out of left field to try to tie up all these weird loose ends that they kind of made, but also COVID made? Some of them where you're just like, okay, they're going to add stuff too. That's the thing that drives me crazy, is they're going to add things that I'm definitely not going to be happy with. There's going to be more Swan. There's going to be more Moraine. There's going to be more land. And
they're going to add stuff that doesn't need to be there. And they're going to subtract stuff that you really need to be there.
That's the, like they did in the first season. You know, we still really need character development between the three main characters.
As long as it's good, I'll be happy. But
thank the light for listening to our podcast. Please rate us, like us, tell a friend about our show. Thank the light. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. Fatty is doing a great job of being on Twitter and retweeting some good stuff. So if you want to see the highlights online, then at Parsailman is a great one to follow. Send us questions and comments and your concerns about season 2 of The Wheel of Time. Send those to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have comedy, spirituality, time travel, movies, fitness and nutrition, and awesome women in the form of All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Time, Pop, Be Brave, and That Fitness Couple. You can find them at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine, free podcasts. And never forget Korai Al-Kaldazar.
Yeah, if you're I will be your Mandalorian without a hat till I see you again.
I will be Anakin's burnt face.
Do you think you said anything in the moment that maybe you regret? I can't think of anything. I hate you!
When Justin's going to be part of your intervention, that's a bad sign.
Hey, you know what? Fuck that. I can handle my shit.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
I got to go to the Wiz Palace.
My axe.